Were you a member of a team? What kind of expectations did you have when you joined the team? How did you expect the team to function? Did you assume that things would be done in a certain way? Maybe this was because of some of your past experiences. Gordon and Rosemary, our special guests, are also marriage counselors, and when counseling couples, they at times will draw attention to the differences because of the family backgrounds and how those backgrounds affects their expectations and assumptions regarding marriage and family life. Well, you know, in many ways, teams are not so different from married couples.
Particularly we find with expatriate workers that many of them are coming from different cultural backgrounds, different nationalities, different age groups, different denominations, in all kinds of differences. And increasingly we're working with teams including Africans along with the expatriates from Europe and from the States and from Australia, from New Zealand, etc. So you've got a multiplicity of expectations and assumptions. And what we bring into the team is quite important to the effect that it has as we work together. I think that as a counsellor, you see very clearly that how we relate to people has to do with the patterns of relating that we learnt in childhood. And although in some ways the Lord can free us from dysfunctional patterns, that in many of us they're still there, and the things that we expect or we assume. I think marriage is a very good example of this. I'll give you an example in our life that when we got married, I would have assumed that a woman's role was to do a fairly typical, stereotypical, really, male-female division of labour. If I was looking at my family of origin, where my father worked as a doctor and my mother was a stay-at-home mother. If Gordon had looked at his family of origin, his mother always had a work job outside the home, which was fairly unusual in those days, so that the pattern that we brought was quite different. And discussion was needed to discover the right pattern for us as a couple. Now, the same sort of thing applies in any team. Even if you come from the same culture, from the same denominational background, there will be different expectations. I think also previous team experiences you've had. Well, in the team that we were in before, the leader always decided that. That sort of thing is going on in people's minds.
Gordon and Rosemary have counseled with many different teams with different personality types and personalities who have brought different values with them to the team experience.
Some of the sort of values that we bring with us into a team may be because of our personality type, so that some of us, it will be extremely important in a team that every member of the team is considered equal and everybody's voice is heard. Others may expect that certain people will do all the talking in the team meetings and others will keep quiet.
We did team building with a team in Africa that was about 50-50 expats and Africans, and we gave them this values card sort, and strangely enough all the expats put my value in a team is warmth, friendship, fellowship, spiritual togetherness. And most of the Africans put to get the job done, for my task, for my village to get ahead, which is contrary to our sort of cultural expectations. But personality-wise, it followed that pattern. Most of the Africans just happened to be people who were task-oriented, and most of the expats were very feeling and process-oriented. So personality can be very powerful, very important.
If you work in a team, or you've ever worked in a team, then you know that working closely with each other can involve things like conflict. It might be a personality conflict, a viewpoint conflict, or conflict over working methods. And of course, out of all this comes hurt feelings. So how do you get past those times which can be very emotional, tiring, and disrupting? A fresh start would be nice, but that would involve something like forgiving and forgetting. And that isn't always easy to do.
It isn't easy. And I think I also mentioned that sometimes we need to go and talk to a trusted Christian friend or counsellor. In my view, forgiveness is a process. And sometimes we have to face the depth of the sin that has been done against us before we can even begin to move into the process of forgiveness. And I think For us Christians, forgiveness starts as an act of the will, where we sometimes we have to go far back to say to God, I am willing to forgive so-and-so, but I have no feeling of forgiveness whatsoever. Please, will you give that to me? And I think as we ask the Lord to put our minds right, our thinking patterns right, that he can work in this, but it sometimes takes a long time.
We sometimes talk about building intimacy in a team. The discussion is on a surface level. And if we're going to work with people just for a week, maybe that's going to survive. But if we're going to work with someone for 5 years, we have to move down the intimacy scale. And then people begin talking about more personal issues. They may talk about why such and such a behavior pattern is important and reveal to you the things that happened in the past. That will bring a measure of healing and a measure of understanding. I remember two ladies who worked very closely together, and the one had a need for a really very, very close friendship, almost didn't want the other to go on holiday or do anything without them, and almost wanted them to share rooms at night. There was nothing untoward in that relationship. But the one person's need was unrealistic for the other to meet. And it takes time to let that come out, to express vulnerability, to try to understand each other and then try to set more realistic expectations.
Okay, realistic expectations. We need them, not just of the job that you've been assigned, but expectations of each other. How do your partners work? Do they prefer to be very private in all that they do? Or are they very open people who like a lot of open discussion and give and take? Do you understand yourself and your moods and your own preferences? Do you understand that about each of your team members? It's important for a smoothly functioning team.
Yes, a great deal of teamwork is to do with really knowing and understanding one another. So sometimes we suggest to teams that are going to be working in together closely for a long time together that they actually work with one another with their family tree, as we call it, a genogram, which is where you build up a relationship tree and talk to one another about how it was like when you were growing up and with whom you experienced warmth, who was closest to you, the sort of things that happened to you that were really significant in your childhood, to discuss some of these factors together. Sometimes we ask teams to tell one another about previous experiences they've had of being in a team, because that too will be part of the expectations and the assumptions they're bringing into the team. So, yes, building intimacy in this sort of level.
Just picking up on that point that Rosemary made, if I have been in a team that malfunctioned and was very painful, then in my present team, I'm going to be very guarded, very protection-oriented. If I've been in a team that went absolutely wonderfully, it was the most brilliant experience of my life, that's going to affect how my expectations of this team. Perhaps I think it's going to be the same again. I'm going to be severely disappointed if it's not. But is my expectation realistic that every team I'm in will be great fun, there will not be any stresses or problems? So our past experiences definitely affect our expectations, and sometimes those have to be more realistic and adjusted.
Okay, I think we all know that, don't we? Good teamwork requires that we each understand our coworkers' expectations and assumptions, and our own expectations and assumptions, and how these all fit together. We can't assume that we will think the same way because we're all different. Mm-hmm. But how can we learn to understand those differences?
Communication. They will have to talk about it and understand each other, and maybe when the one wants to shut the door and be quiet, the other will then not see it as rejection. Maybe when the one wants to do things together, the other will be more yielding and recognize a deep need in the other that's not impinging on them, but really meets a need in them. So communication leads to understanding, and understanding leads to resolution of difference.
Today we learn some more about teamwork and team building and some of the factors that go into building an effective, compatible, and smoothly functioning team. Gordon and Rosemary were our special guests today. Counseling teams is what they do. And they'll be back with us again next week at this same time as we learn some more about building an effective team.